You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to Taco Tuesday. I mean, I don't know what else to call it. It's Taco Tuesday. Hey.
I had tacos last night.
Oh, so you had Taco Monday.
Taco Monday, yeah.
Wait, bro, that just throws the whole rhythm off.
It was leftovers from Taco Sunday.
Okay, so you're having a taco week. That's Big Rig on the board. You doing all right otherwise?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
I mean, aside from the fact you're doing tacos.
Yeah.
Like every day. All right, no worries. We got a great show laid on for you. 3 o'clock today, State Senator Larry Stutz is calling in. Larry's the only guy I know who is not only a state senator, he is both an OBGYN and a veterinarian. He can birth your human babies and he can birth your animal babies. He can do all of it. But he's State Senator Larry Stutz going to call in. He's also super conservative, and we'll talk to him about several things happening in the legislature as we speak. So that's at 3 o'clock. Stay tuned for it. And then I got a triple dipper full of stuff. So hit it, man.
The triple dipper, 3 stories you've got to know.
That's right. Triple dipper, 3 stories, 3 themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, the feeble admin is on tap. And I may do a flip and just do this one in a different order. But right now, the feeble admin, I mean, it's getting like worse by the day. Like the Biden administration is just seemingly made up of feeble, insecure, like incapable people. And I don't mean that a little bit. I hesitate to do that kind of a segment, but you have to point this out because it is to the point of being glaringly obvious. So number one, triple dipper, and we might even flip the order on it, but it is scheduled right now for the feeble admin. Number two, you know the deal. Every once in a while, we got to pay attention to what happens in and around and amongst us. And so, yeah, I'm going to have a whole section of home fries to include that conversation with State Senator Larry Stutz at 3 o'clock. Home fries, number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, I don't know what's happening, but all of a sudden, there is this like move to the left on Israel. I'm calling it turning left on Israel. Well, the left is turning on Israel. I don't know what the heck is going on, but all of a sudden we have gone from, well, this will not stand, or we support Israel and whatever they need, to now the Biden administration is basically shaming Netanyahu into trying to get him to shut down and do a 6-week ceasefire. What the heck? Anyway, turning left on Israel, that's number three on the triple dipper. All right, let me jump in here to my monologue for the day, the Right Side Way. And I'll remind you guys that Southern Immediate Care is the sponsor of the daily Right Side Way monologue. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground in our listening area. They are all over the place. They are open 7 days a week. They will see all ages. I'm talking pediatric to geriatric. They'll see them all. And folks, they are there for you. And they are, by the way, the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue every single day, Southern Immediate Care. All right, let me jump in here, and I'll say something a little obvious, but a leader's presence actually matters, like a lot. And I've said before that sometimes it's important that not only does the person in charge provide for good decision-making and quality management and care for his or her people, but that the leader also inspires others. The Romans, they looked to certain characteristics. They gave them names like pietas, which denoted a regard for discipline and authority, or virtus, which had connotations of valor and masculinity and excellence and courage and strong character. And then there was gravitas, which meant that someone was sincere and carried themselves with authority. The Romans actually wrapped up all of these and several more into a concept they called Romanitas. And Romanitas was like saying that if someone wanted to represent Rome to the world, then these characteristics needed to be evident in that person's life. In other words, they saw their leaders as being representative of who they are as a people, not the other way around. Now, I said before, in the military, we call it command presence. It involves the actual person of the leader, not their resume, not any number of medals on their chest, not how loud they can yell or what position they currently hold. When a military unit has a leader who carries command presence, it implies the troops look to that person because they embody what the junior ranks want to be like. They see the charisma, the strength of personality, the self-confidence, the individual magnetism that a leader projects. And when that leader walks into a room, people know it. When someone else gives an order, that's not uncommon for them to use the commander's name because it carries weight. That kind of leadership presence is actually pretty elusive. It's hard to pinpoint. It can certainly be developed, but it's also sometimes inherent in the character of the person who has it. And I'll be honest with you. I don't think we have any of that gravitas in the Oval Office right now, not a lick. Videos abound, even as recently as yesterday, of President Biden looking lost or checking his notes as to what he should say or having his own words walked back by his own staff. Foreign leaders don't respond well to him. We hear that some don't even return his phone calls. And I have to ask if maybe the Romans had it right, that a leader should embody what we as a people want to be seen as by the rest of the world. So when the other leaders of other nations see our president, do they see America? Who are we? Are we still rough and ready? Are we still industrious cowboys? Are we still maverick innovators? Are we the nation who can be counted on? Are we the nation who answers the call of our friends and tells the bullies of the world to back off? Are we a nation that has gravitas? And if so, then shouldn't our leadership reflect that? We can think back to leaders like Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, but one of my favorite moments of presidential gravitas occurred just over 111 years ago. An incident occurred that firmly established that command presence, oh yeah, it's looked for in a presence, in a president. In 1910, Teddy Roosevelt was vying to become president for a third term. There had been a four-year gap in his service. He had just lost a heated primary to the then Republican president, William Taft, at a contested Republican convention. But Populism was with Roosevelt. So in classic Roosevelt fashion, he stepped away from the Republican Party and formed his own party, and he christened it the Progressive Party. Not really a name that most conservatives would cotton to today, but there it was. And Roosevelt, man, he was a force of nature. He was a personality that could not be contained. He was a doer, but he was also one who did what was asked of him and not just one who would order others to do that which he would not do himself. Like him or not, Roosevelt, the man had presence. He was the embodiment of American gravitas. So on October 14th of 1912, Teddy Roosevelt stepped out of his hotel in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He got into an open-topped car to make the short drive to the auditorium where he was scheduled to give a campaign speech. Crowds were waiting outside the hotel. They cheered loudly when he came out. In classic Roosevelt fashion, he stepped up in the back of his town car and stood up in it to wave at the crowd. But unbeknownst to everyone there, there was a man named John Schrank, who believed that a former dead president had told him in a dream that he had to kill Roosevelt, and he was waiting with a .38 caliber pistol in his pocket. Schrank pulled his pistol and shot Roosevelt in the chest at close range, as close as a few feet. But there was a thick copy of his written speech and his eyeglass case in his pocket that helped slow down the bullet somewhat. Nonetheless, Roosevelt was knocked down and the bullet entered his chest cavity. But y'all, the recounting of this event does not stop there. It is said that Roosevelt himself saw the crowd attempting to beat the shooter, who was obviously out of his mind, and Roosevelt, having just been shot, intervened and shouted down the angry mob, saying, "He doesn't know what he's doing. Don't strike the poor creature." Well, the Library of Congress recounts that the injured and bleeding Roosevelt himself was able to restore order to the chaos at the scene before the police even arrived and took Schrank into custody. But at that point, Roosevelt insisted on going on to give his speech, which he did, while bleeding profusely through his clothes, and he spoke with vigor and energy for nearly an hour and a half. It was only after the speech that Roosevelt, who had become wobbly from loss of blood, was taken to a hospital. Roosevelt was later asked by reporters how he was doing, and he said, "I'm as fit as a bull moose." At that point, the phrase caught on, and going forward, the so-called Progressive Party became known as the Bull Moose Party. And Teddy Roosevelt, a man who had led the Rough Riders up San Juan Hill in the Spanish-American War, became even more legendary. Old rough and ready, take no prisoners kind of guy, his charisma wound up being more popular than the Republican president Taft, who was the incumbent, the same one who invested him at the convention. So the Bull Moose Party, with Teddy Roosevelt, actually wound up carrying more states than the Republicans did with the incumbent President Taft. Unfortunately for both of them, it served as a spoiler candidacy, and it opened up the door to the election of Democrat Woodrow Wilson. But Bull Moose Roosevelt is also the reason why Woodrow Wilson won that election with the lowest percentage of popular vote in U.S. history at just 42%. It was gravitas. The people could care less what the establishment of the day wanted at the convention. They wanted some Bull Moose gravitas. Teddy Roosevelt embodied what the majority of Americans wanted their country to be known as. When the world looks at their leader, they wanted a guy who could get shot and give his speech anyway. People want a leader who inspires confidence. And I would also say the people of this great nation, we deserve a leader that will inspire confidence. Someone who, even when we don't agree with him on policy, can effectively articulate their position. Somebody who leads us to believe that if a fast-paced, dangerous situation arose in the dark of night, that they would be able to respond quickly, resolutely, effectively. Somebody who leads us to believe that they actually have a plan that involves the greater good. So set aside Biden's policies right now. Just focus for a second on the man sitting in the office, just the man. Tell me if you would follow him anywhere. Call it command presence, call it gravitas. It's a thing. It matters. And it's missing right now. I'm telling you, we need some Bull Moose gravitas. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, right now I feel like a strong puff of wind, or even a light puff of wind, would knock Biden right over. Like not even able to get up. And yet Teddy Roosevelt gets shot and then stands up, quiets the crowd, and goes and gives his speech anyway while he's bleeding through his shirt. I'm saying, Bull Moose gravitas. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.